Last year, Adam and I and a few hundred friends of DeSoto gathered in the Masonic Lodge inside a cemetery in the heart of Hollywood. Were we there to practice some dark rite? Some sinister ritual designed to bring deceased Star Trek actors back to the plane of the living? To bring an unholy horde of undead nerd celebrities to Earth to consume the brains of the living? No, we were just doing our live show of the Share Your Embarrassment Tour. It's our review of Star Trek V, and we filmed it. We just wanted to let you know to get ready for that live stream announcement coming next week. If you're a Max Fun member and you support our shows, you'll get access to discounted tickets from membership at MaximumFun.org. So, good time to make sure those emails are delivering properly to your inbox. Either way, we'll be announcing ticket links soon here and on our mailing list that you can sign up for at podshop.biz. The Share Your Embarrassment Tour is coming to your living room for one last stop, and you're not going to want to miss it.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I am your host, Adam Pranica.
I am your other host, Benjamin R. Harrison. How you doing, Adam?
Sticking the R in there.
Yeah, getting a little bit more formal.
Don't want to get confused with the other guy.
Yeah, I want to be Googleable, you know?
My last name is so Polishly unique that I have no need for the middle.
Try living in my neighborhood, buddy.
So, I was on Facebook a while ago, and I don't know, like, I'll vanity Google my name sometime to see, like, where it's coming up, where it's showing up in places.
Mm-hmm.
And I found another Adam Pranica on Facebook.
Let's kick his ass.
And he's some Polish kid, like, straight from Poland.
Yeah.
So I sent him a message, and I was like, hey, great name you got there.
Be a shame if anything happened to it. For example, it became associated strongly with a Star Trek podcast.
Yeah, I just wanted to get out ahead of it. Like, look, buddy, you don't know how bad it's going to get for you in about,
yeah,
in like 2 months, so buckle up. And I don't know how Facebook works when you're going cross-country with it.
Right. Oh, like crossing an international boundary?
No response. Yeah, and this has happened before. Like, when I was in Spain, I met some new people, and we were like, yeah, let's become Facebook friends. Couldn't find them on Facebook, even though, like, at the time, I knew them to exist. So I don't know if this message got through to this other Adam Pranica or what, but I tried. I hope he got enough of a warning, because he's young enough to be, like, high school-aged, maybe.
Oh, and this could really damage his career.
I mean, he could still be in the locker, Ben.
Yeah. Oof.
Sorry, Ben.
I
think that's all I have for an open.
Well, why don't we talk about an episode of Star Trek in that case?
All right, let's do it.
This is becoming a speech.
You're the captain, sir. You're entitled.
Not entitled to ramble on about something everyone knows.
This is Season 3, Episode 23... Sarek. Oh, I need one of those. There we go. Someone was telling us recently that they thought our card opening bit was like an ASMR thing.
Yeah,
I thought that was an interesting theory.
I didn't ever think to associate it with that, but that is certainly my new favorite theory about why people like it.
I just always hoped that it was our voices that was giving people the most pleasure.
Yeah, not so. It's the crinkling packaging.
Bubble popped.
Well, this episode starts with Enterprise pulling up to a nice parallel parking space right on the doorstep of Planet Vulcan. And Picard and Riker are in their Sunday best, heading down to the transporter room to meet Spock's daddy. And this is going to be a diplomatic Uber mission where they're going to take Sarek to meet a race called the Ligerans.
The Ligerans of the planet Chrysler.
I was going to say planet MacGuffin, but sure. I like your joke better. Yeah, so Sarek, Spock's daddy, is a character from the original series, and he is an ambassador. And the conversation between Picard and Riker on the way down is about, like, holy fucking shit. Like, this guy, it's like meeting a founding father, you know? Like, this guy is a baller, like, major baller status for 200 years running. He's been at, like, every historical event in the history of the Federation. He was, you know, instrumental in forming the Federation. They have a laundry list of things that they admire about him.
He is capital O, capital G.
Yeah. And cash does not rule everything around him, because Kareem does not get the money, dollar, dollar, bill, y'all, in the United Federation of Planets. Post-cash society, Adam.
Right.
It's all scarves.
Which also means it's a post-cash money society, which makes me sad.
Yeah, baby is out on the streets. It's really sad, like... You know, it's post-scarcity, except for baby is like, well, what about my post-scarcity? I used to have a record label. Now I don't have shit.
Nothing but these scary face tattoos.
And maybe kissing little Wayne on the mouth.
So Picard and Riker go into the transporter room, and they're like, giddy. Like, yes. Can't wait to meet this guy. And O'Brien swipes his hand over the transporter console.
Swipes right.
Onto the pad beams, like, two of his helpers.
Yeah.
And not the guy.
This is a bit of a disappointment. It's a very skinny Vulcan, and is the older guy, is he supposed to be a Vulcan, or is he supposed to be a human who's, like, in Vulcan drag?
Man, the entire episode I was trying to get a look at his ears.
Yeah.
And never saw the tips.
So he didn't really have a Vulcan-y name, and he definitely... emoted.
He didn't have Vulcan-y shoulder pads either.
Yeah, he emoted a lot more.
Yeah.
And he didn't have the bangs, so...
I just figured he was one of his valets.
Mm-hmm. But a really imperious dude, and he basically shows up to Big Dog Picard preemptively.
Yeah. He's like, look, Sarek's an old man, and I don't know what you were planning on as far as a bunch of... diplomatic events and partying and what have you.
Yeah. This isn't Max FunCon, dude.
Yeah. Like, if you're planning a bunch of shit, he basically just wants to be left alone and he wants to go to bed early, as any 200-year-old man would.
Yeah. This is more of a greatest Gen Con type of situation.
Right. Right.
No, that's
curfews
not true.
Curfews in place.
Greatest Gen Con is going to have huge parties. It's going to be great.
It's going real late.
Yeah. And so they are a little bit surprised, but they agree to these terms. They're like, yeah, fine, like, you know, like, he's the boss, we'll do whatever he wants to do. I mean, we had a concert planned, but it's not a big deal if he doesn't come.
Yeah.
And so they throw the transporter into gear one more time, and Sarek and his wife materialize, and they're like, okay, like, old frail man, we'll now show you to where you can sleep until we get to the Ligerans. And he's like, fuck that. Like, I want to check out this conference room.
No one has been more excited to see a conference room than Sarek at this moment.
Yeah.
And, like, when you go to a conference, do you ever look at the room before going in? I sure don't.
I got to admit, Adam, sometimes I do.
Oh, boy.
I'm very Sarek-like, and a lot of people have said that.
You got to believe me. No one's more Sarek than I am.
I am the most dispassionate, least emotional. I have normal-sized hands, pointy ears. I'm very Sarek-like. You're not going to believe how Sarek-like I'm going to be when I get into office.
For a very long time, there was another man who people thought was the most Sarek. Then he died, and then I just happened to become the most Sarek-like after that.
Oh, that's a dark one. It was a great day for me. Terrible day for the country, but a great day for me.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, Sarek's like, show me the room, guys. He's like rubbing his hands together. Can't wait to see the conference room. Let's get in there.
And it tosses to the title sequence.
Which is one of the great tosses, right? Like, show me the conference room. Slam to commercial.
Oh, I can't wait to see what happens!
Ooh!
Yeah.
That is called building the tension.
Yeah, somebody in the writer's room was like, hey, you remember that episode where Captain Picard went on vacation and the throw to title sequence was Troy going, I think the captain needs to go on vacation. I think we can beat that for least exciting possible way to throw it to commercial.
It's a real race to the bottom in the writer's room right now.
It's so funny because, like, the season three has had some of the all-time great cold opens where you're just on the edge of your seat, and then sometimes they're like, hey, let's rest on these here laurels.
In the first draft, Sarek was like, show me my identification name card.
Show me where I get in line to check into the hotel.
Show me where the continental breakfast is.
So we come back from commercial, and Geordi and Wes...
The boy. Young Wesley Crusher.
My son.
Are hanging out in a room working on a slime pit, and... Wes lets slip that he's excited about a hot date he has coming up tonight. This scene is merely set up. We never see this date, but Geordi says something pretty condescending, which is like...
I gotta admit, Wes, though, I'm a bit surprised.
What, that you'd go out with me?
No, that you'd actually have the nerve to ask her.
This is a weird little scene. We quickly get distracted from this, though, because Sarek comes in with the whole, you know, all the top brass, and... He's criticizing the fact that the room isn't ready. This slime pit is the medium in which the Ligerans live. It's like super hot, rainbow-colored slime. We never have any aliens that don't really give a shit about protocol, you know? Like, these aliens are super sensitive to issues of protocol, and Sarek has been preparing for a long time to make sure that this diplomatic conference goes swimmingly. And he has a lot of thoughts about the way the room is set up. He notices that there's a table and glass chairs, and he's like, well, it simply will not do to have anybody go through that table, so you got to get it out of here.
The walls are too bright.
Yeah, and the walls are too bright.
But, I got some real Ghostbusters 2 vibes from that Kool-Aid jacuzzi they were setting up.
Like go down in the subway?
The evil ooze.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So it's a weird scene because Sarek seems to get like fairly TO'd.
He's spry, right?
Yeah.
Like he's far more energetic than his valets have painted him to be.
Right. And he's also like not merely commenting on things that are wrong with the room. Like he's definitely making people feel bad about it, which is...
Like most old people, he has an opinion and he's sharing it very loudly.
Yeah. So... Old boy heads off to his room, and Picard goes and, like, sits on the bridge, and he's just kind of like, fuck, what is this valet talking about? Like, Sarek seems fine. He even seems kind of angry. We have this whole fucking concert set up. I don't know. I don't understand what the fucking problem is. Like, what? Like, who is lying to me, and on what basis? And Troy's like, hey, well, you know, if maybe Sarek is... putting on a good show, but you know, maybe his wife wants to see this concert. Why don't you go invite her? And so Picard goes and pays her a visit and invites her, and she loves the idea of the concert, so they show up.
It is the guiding principle on which Starfleet is based. If you can't find it within yourself to stand up, tell the truth, you don't deserve to wear that uniform.
And this is like classic, like, this is what we do in our off time on the Enterprise type shit, you know?
Yeah.
I love the idea that they're all on this, like, interstellar cruise ship, essentially, and they just watch, like, string quartets in their in their free time.
Thursday is magic night.
Yeah.
It's so weird. The cruise ship vibes are very strong this episode, for sure.
Yeah. But, and they all just have a real classy taste in diversions, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there are no garbage diversions on board this ship.
No.
We'll have none of that.
No. So they have this concert, and there are these little elliptical edits, and you know, you see the concert start, and then you kind of get to this peaking emotional point in the music, and there's this really intense scene where the focus on the camera racks to Sacketh, who's the younger of the two assistants that Sarek has with him, and the dude is shitting himself because Sarek is starting to break down emotionally listening to this music, and the camera goes extremely close on one of Sarek's eyes as a tear forms in it, and Troy starts flipping out, like her spidey senses go off the charts. Picard sees the moistness on Sarek's cheek when he turns to his wife, like
his wife, who then wipes the tear from him.
Yeah, and then like the whole Sarek clique bounces from the concert without a word to anybody. They're like, we got to get out of here. Like, this is a major lapse in our like brand statement about Sarek being the most Vulcan.
Ben, is wiping someone else's tears just a thing that happens in movies and TV? Because I can't remember having my tears wiped from someone else or wiping someone else's.
Oh, really? Your wife has never wiped a tear?
No, I wipe my own tears. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, like, I guess that just means you're not very Sarek-like.
Huh. All right.
You gotta get your tears wiped, man. You've not lived until you've had a good cry and then your wife has wiped your tears.
I guess.
Next time we see each other, I'll make you cry and your wife can step in. I mean, pending her agreement to this.
Okay,
little
yeah, we'll plan that out.
Gotta have enthusiastic consent on a tear wiping type of situation.
Anytime fluids are involved, absolutely.
Yeah.
We cut back to the Kool-Aid jacuzzi, and Wes and Geordi are back there doing their, you know, that thing that you do at a swimming pool, like you dip the little thing and check the chlorine.
Mm-hmm.
They're like making sure things are the right temperature and the right color and whatnot. And they start an argument about Wesley's date that gets super heated.
You don't really think anything's going to happen with Suzanne Dumont, do you?
At least I'm not spending the night with a good book like some people.
Yeah.
It, like, pegs the needle for heat.
Compared to you, every male on this ship is an expert on women.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they're, like, they're literally about to start, like, doing ball punches.
Well, at least I don't have to fight my women on the holodeck.
And Riker walks in, and he's like, hey, guys, let's be cool. And I sort of wondered if this was just like Riker's natural vibe if he's in a room full of a lot of slime. You know, he immediately felt like, oh, like, am I in a refractory period? Like, has my like internal sense of aggression been chemically altered?
This swimming pool sort of is a lower output than I would normally be able to produce. But, yeah, this feels like something I've gone through before.
This feels familiar.
Yeah.
Gets him to calm down. And it's one of those, like, you know, Wes leaves the room and Riker's like, is there a problem, Geordi? And it's a very intense scene. This episode I want to call out for excellent use of close-ups on the camera. There's at least three really great close-ups in this episode. The ones, the one on Sarek's eye, the one on Geordi in this scene, and one that's coming up on Commander Data that I just think are rare. It's rare that the camera gets this tight on a face in Star Trek: The Next Generation, and I really liked it. I thought it was used effectively basically every time it happened in this episode, and it was, like, happening a lot.
Give Ben that face. Get him in there.
My love is a fever, long in jail for that, which longer nurseth the disease. Tell me more, you'll have to go again.
So we cut to Riker and Worf talking in a corridor, and earlier on in the episode, it's referred to that Worf has written up one of his employees for insubordination.
Yeah.
And it's weird because Worf doesn't have many of these write-ups that he has to do, and the employee in question has seemed to be a pretty squared-away person up until now. So Riker's kind of chatting about him. He's like, what's going on with this dude? And Worf's like, it was really out of character and strange, but the guy was definitely insubordinate. So they round the corner, and Riker's like,
is it my imagination, or have tempers become a little frayed on the ship lately?
And then the door to 10 forward opens, and it is a fucking bar fight in there.
Yeah.
It's like a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, like the pianist is still playing his heart out, but everybody else is like breaking chairs over people's backs. And you know,
so many glass tables die for this scene.
Yeah, like, you know, somebody grabs Chief O'Brien and runs him along the bar so that his face hits every glass of beer. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is great. And the scale of this fight is really impressive. There's like 30 people fighting.
Yeah. I paused it and rewound and watched it again, and there's some really hysterical, like, inexpert swashbuckling taking place in this fight, but the general feel of it is very effective. when you're looking at the wide shot, you're like, holy shit, like, people are set tripping like a motherfucker in here.
Yeah. Shit has gone down, and Guinan's nowhere to be seen, which was a disappointment to me.
Yeah, shouldn't she be, like, shooting that nubby-ass space rifle into the ceiling?
I was expecting that. I thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But that must be for another bar fight, I remember.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Anyway, so Riker's suspicion is confirmed, and he takes one to the face.
Yeah.
Someone open palms him to the face.
Yeah, it's like the nosebone into the brain punch, you know.
Yeah. And that guy's fired.
Yeah, that dude is definitely gonna be looking for work after this.
That guy's getting transferred to the hood.
I am the cutest of all. There are four lights.
So wouldn't you know it, a bunch of fighting on the ship, especially physically, starts to raise some eyebrows in the medical community, and Troy and Beverly start to figure out that shit ain't right.
And also, Data has had a conversation with Saketh, the younger Vulcan, where Data is kind of like getting the sense that Saketh has something to hide, and Saketh is kind of like dropping in little questions about like whether Picard could potentially play the role of an ambassador should the need arise.
He's doing that thing where when two people go to a party and they haven't decided who's going to drive home, one of the guys is like, so if things get a little crazy in there for me, you can drive, right?
It's like, well, I'm actually already two tequilas in, so
yeah.
Could you potentially, or what's up?
He's asking if someone on board can be a designated diplomat.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're like, the ship is an Uber. Like, we can't get an Uber. That's the issue. And that, like, is when Lawyer Picard starts getting involved. So Picard decides that it's time to confront Sarek about what is clearly a case of Bendai syndrome, which is a neurological disease that affects Vulcans over the age of 200. And it is basically...
It's like, what if Alzheimer's was transmittable?
Right, right. It's like Vulcans' whole thing is that they're in control of their emotions at all times. Bendai syndrome is the breakdown of the part of the brain that controls emotions. But Sarek stays in control. It's, for the most part, it's the, like, psychic energy, the psionic energy that he's putting out that's affecting other people randomly throughout the ship. And it even turns out that Saketh has been using his powers of a mind to try and, like, hold Sarek's shit together. And, you know, imperfectly, but he's just trying to, like, you know, this is his one last job and then he's out of the game for good.
It is so fucked up that they basically beamed on a mind weapon and no one told anyone that there was this danger. Like, he turns everyone insane around him.
Yeah, but I mean, that was like, sort of
people
the...
could have been killed in that bar fight.
True, but I think that that's sort of the whole theme of the episode is that this guy is this great man who is being, he's losing his dignity, you know, like this whole exegesis by Picard about the kind of ravages of old age and how you lose your dignity at the end. And the Vulcans are the most dignified. So he's losing his dignity in this way that is affecting everybody. And it's this tragic thing, you know, like I'm actually going through this right now. A beloved elder family member is literally like in the hospital as we record this. And it's really hard, you know, like you see this person that you've loved your whole life and then they're just kind of at the mercy of these tubes and these doctors and like their body just does things that are in any other context embarrassing, but just, you know, it's like it's the ravages of old age
and it's not future proofed.
It's not future proof. And that's I think this is a really interesting episode because it actually like is a serious exploration of that. And mm-hmm. you know, Picard is probably the oldest main cast character and he's really like torn up and reluctant to confront this and he's the one that has to do it. So he winds up having this really intense scene, just him and Sarek, where he lawyer Picard Sarek into kind of like a witness booth confession of his illness. Like Sarek has been kind of in denial and the only way Picard can get him to admit that he is completely out of control and not capable of serving as an ambassador in his current state is by like whipping Sarek up into this state of mania. And it's a really like remarkable scene.
Your efforts to discredit me will not succeed.
Sarek, a Vulcan, never confused what he wanted with the truth.
I will not be spoken to in this manner.
He pushes him right to the edge and Sarek totally gets pissed at him.
It would be illogical for a Vulcan to show anger. It'd be illogical. 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 Illogical.
Picard essentially gets Sarek to prove Picard's point.
There's two things to care about right now at this point. Which one is more important, do you think? Is it the diplomacy with the Ligerans, or is it Sarek's well-being?
Right.
I still think people are really putting a lot of eggs in that Ligeran basket. Like, everyone's got their eye on that as being the important thing. What are we going to do if Sarek's incapacitated?
Yeah.
Like, this thing has got to go on, is basically the consensus.
I don't know. This is like one of those... I wish these were aliens that we ever heard about again.
Yeah.
One of the things I really love about the show, obviously, is that there aren't these storylines that you have to follow week after week, year after year.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if the Ligerian, if it came up that the Ligerians were like an incredibly important ally of the Federation ever again.
Yeah.
You know?
They're a bottle alien.
Yeah. They're totally a bottle alien. They're a briefcase with glowing gold light in it, you know?
Yeah, all you see is the pool. It's too bad.
I am Locutus aboard. You will respond to my questions. I am Locutus aboard. You are Borg.
So, the guy who's been propping up Sarek's mind has basically been fired by Sarek. Like, I don't want you to do it anymore. Get out of my sight.
Yeah.
And so, one of the options that's on the table for how to actually go through with the conference and have Sarek be the guy in the middle of it, is mind-melding Sarek with Picard. The thinking is that Picard's diplomatic intellect and just his mental grounding
right.
will be enough to act as a structure for Sarek's mind that could at least get him through the process. Like,
right.
This doesn't need to be forever. It just needs to get him through, like brain crutches.
Yeah. And they probably briefly considered Riker, too, because he's a noted diplomat. But they're like, well, we don't really want him to fuck the Ligerians.
And Sarek is wearing a robe, so the erection would be very apparent.
Hard to hide at that point.
The only drawback to this idea is that it goes both ways, right? Once you mind meld with someone, all of their thoughts are yours, all of your thoughts are theirs. So it's basically transferring all of Sarek's emotional insanity into Picard. So Picard's got to prepare for a wild ride.
Well, you know what they say, Adam. Never mind meld with your heroes. You know, it's always a disappointment.
Yeah.
And so they do this shit, and it's pretty unceremonious. Like Picard is like hanging out in his apartment with Beverly, and Sarek shows up. He's like, "Yo, what's up? You want a mind meld?" And they just get it over with, and then Sarek is like, you know, smash cut to Sarek like getting ready to do his conferencing, calling Riker number one, and he walks into the room, and then we cut to Picard in like darkness, just having an extended freak out. Like, and the thing about it is the emotions that Vulcans feel are so much stronger than other species. So Picard,
they are pure uncut emotions.
Yeah. So Picard has no mental discipline to keep this shit at bay, and it's basically just several hours of him sitting under Dr. Crusher's supervision freaking the fuck out.
I think it really shows the trust and intimacy that Picard has with Beverly, because Picard's a guy who didn't want to tell Pulaski that he was going in for a heart procedure because it would make him look weak.
Yeah.
And here he is with Beverly, like, sobbing uncontrollably and screaming and being held like an infant because he has just completely fallen apart.
True dat.
It's sort of scary to see, you know, the picture of stoicism,
mm-hmm.
the picture of the biggest dog on campus at this point,
right,
has just been reduced to
a quivering, wasted piece of jelly.
Yeah. What did you think of this performance?
I thought it was really strong. It could have been camp.
Yeah.
If the music was wrong, or if they made too big of a deal of, you know, Beverly back rubbing him or something, like, it could have gone bad in a number of ways. But I think if you're directing that scene, I think you need to trust Patrick Stewart and just get out of his way.
Totally.
And I don't know anything about how this episode was produced with respect to that scene, but how can that not be your strategy?
Yeah.
Like, I probably wouldn't have given him any direction at all. Like, give me some takes and then we'll see what we get. He was fantastic and riveting and scary and sad. Like, anyone who has been around anyone with a mental problem, I think, will recognize how fraught that situation looks. I thought he did an amazing job.
Did you notice his Mentakin tapestry draped over the chair behind him in this scene?
I did. That was a nice callback.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah, and so I guess Sarek, with the stabilizing influence of Picard in his head, is able to pull off whatever he needs to negotiate, and they're all set, and the last scene is them it's kind of a bookend episode, you know. It ends again with Riker and Picard in their Sunday best, and the, you know, sending Sarek and his wife and his entourage off to do whatever they're going to do. And it's kind of bittersweet because it's, you know, Picard and Sarek have shared this like insanely intimate thing. And,
yeah.
And Sarek explains to Picard that the parts of him that he shared with him and vice versa are going to be with him forever. And Picard feels like he had the better part of that deal, which I thought was a very well-written piece of Picard dialogue.
It's a little sad, too, because we've been told the entire time that this is Sarek's last mission. So as a viewer, you're thinking this is the last time you're going to see the character, too.
Yeah. Picard tells Sarek's wife that Sarek really loves her, even though he never, you know, expresses it. And Sarek and Perrin and the other guys hop up on the transporter pad. Sarek and his wife hold each other's hands, and they get beamed off.
And that's the episode.
Yeah.
Just kept talking in one long, incredibly unbroken sentence, moving from topic to topic so that no one had the chance to interrupt. It was really quite hypnotic.
So, Sarek knows everything about Picard. Picard knows everything about Sarek. Sarek also knows everything about Wesley. As a result, chooses not to report him.
I wish Sarek had said something about, I think the detail work on the mask you keep on your GIMP is really top notch.
Did you like this episode, Ben?
I did. Probably not my fave in the season, but pretty strong and definitely, I think adds to the universe a lot. You know, and I appreciate that about it.
There are episodes that are good, that are bad, that are boring, and I can't remember another episode that I thought was as sad as this one.
Yeah,
I just remember feeling really sad by the end. I don't know why that is.
I think that's natural.
Like, what was it all for? Like, this guy's life was his career. He got one last mission under his belt before sauntering off into retirement. I don't know. Gave me a lot to think about. One thing I like about Sarek is that he introduced his wife as "she who is my wife." You think you could ever get away with that, Ben?
I guess I'm going to have to give it a try.
Yeah, let's do that sometime. Let's see how that goes over.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
Did you find yourself a drunk Shimoda?
Drunk Shimoda!
My drunk Shimoda for this episode is the sneaky Vulcan, Sackath. I just thought it was so, like, I got a real delight out of the scene with Sackath and Data where they're both kind of trying to dance around it and obfuscate, but they're both characters that are, like, inherently incapable of telling non-truth.
yeah.
It was like, you know, I mean, it was like...
How many times in your life have you wanted someone to just get to the point the way they did?
Yeah.
It was great.
It was really funny. I thought it was funny. It was a funny idea in the script. It wasn't, you know, they never like winked at the camera, but, you know, and it's like... only going to be funny to you if you kind of know what the deal is with Vulcans and you know what the deal is with Data, but they really built on that and made for some genuine comedy. And I thought it was pretty solid.
I feel like if you didn't know anything about Star Trek and you were in the writer's room on this one, you might think like, why is this scene here?
Yeah.
But it's very rewarding for someone who understands who these characters are and why.
Like, right.
It was very satisfying in that regard.
Totally. I totally agree. How about yourself? Did you have a drunk Shimoda?
I do, but it's a little abstract. So so here's the thing. We were talking about that scene where Picard and Worf are walking through the corridor on their way to 10 Forward.
Yeah.
Before that scene, you see the before scene in 10 Forward, which is a bunch of the bridge crew in there having drinks, a couple of randos in there. And O'Brien gets into a little bit of a heated conversation with someone who's sitting in his seat.
Yeah.
But in the deep background,
mm-hmm.
Geordi is at the bar, and he's talking to a kid.
Really?
It's at 19 minutes.
Okay.
If you cue it up at 19 minutes, I don't know why he's talking to a kid, and I don't know why a kid is at the bar. About this scene is confusing to me.
Oh, yeah. Geordi's totally talking to a little child.
Right?
What the hell is going on there?
What is that about?
Little 80s kid. 80s haircut on that kid.
Yeah. What's up with that, Geordi?
What happens to that kid in the bar fight?
That's also what I'm saying. Like, I watched the bar fight several times looking for the kid because to just introduce him and then continuity error him out of it was very unsatisfying to me. I wanted to see him in there throwing haymakers or just getting the shit knocked out of him.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. So my Shimoda, I think, is for a kid being at the bar. Like, if you were to distill it down to its primary components, like, it's Geordi talking to him. It's him being there to begin with. And what the hell happens to him during the bar fight?
Yeah. Man.
It's sort of like he's sort of like the ghost in Three Men and a Baby, right?
Holy mackerel, Adam. This is a real humdinger.
That's the weirdest Shimoda I think I've come up with.
I feel like that kid gets his own hologram in the Bill Tilly collection.
Weird Shimoda!
Damok Angelad at Tanagra.
Put your best foot forward and present your new business project or political thing as well as you possibly can on the internet. How do you do that? Not through some cookie cutter form on a social media website or trying and failing to code a pretty website yourself. No, you go to Squarespace, start using their completely new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, which helps you choose from professionally curated layouts and styling options that help you build a unique online presence from the ground up that is tailored to your brand or business. Squarespace has been a super loyal sponsor of The Greatest Generation. We hope you will give them a try. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/scarves to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
This year I've been trying to get better at playing golf and playing with my friend and agent when I can, and the thing about golf is that it is so hard. There's about 1,000 different things the body needs to do to hit a golf ball straight, and paradoxically, if you're thinking about any of those things during, you're gonna do bad, and you're gonna have a bad time. And that's why before I go out there, I'll pop a microdose gummy. All sorts of people are microdosing to feel healthier and perform better, because being relaxed and focused and a little energized is how you want to be when you want to hit the ball straight but not think about 1,000 things at the same time. Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good, and you should try them to see if they help you focus on the right things while being relaxed at the same time. Get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com, promo code SCARVES. They're available nationwide. That's microdose.com, promo code SCARVES for 30% off and free shipping. Microdose.com, promo code SCARVES.
It's Webby season. Hi, I'm Sequoia Holmes, host of the Black People Love Paramore podcast, and we are nominated for a Webby for the episode where I interviewed Hayley Williams. In case you're unfamiliar, Black People Love Paramore is a podcast delving into the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel more seen. We would love your vote to help us win this Webby. Please take a second, go over to the Black People Love Paramore podcast social media accounts, and you can find them at BPLP Pod across all social media platforms. Hit the link in bio and vote for Black People Love Paramore.
Hi, I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Teresa McElroy.
And we're the host of Schmanners.
We don't believe that etiquette should be used to judge other people.
No, on Schmanners, we see etiquette as a way to navigate social situations with confidence.
So if that sounds like something you're into,
join us every Friday on Maximum Fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
What do we have coming up for our next episode, Ben?
Our next episode is season 3, episode 24, Ménage à Trois. The Enterprise is thrown into chaos when Counselor Troi and her mother are kidnapped by the Ferengi.
Hmm. That sounds like a good one.
I have never...
How do you feel about this?
I have never wanted my veto more than I want it right now, and I am extremely angry at myself for having burned it to preserve a previous episode.
Hey, Ben, just to be clear, what happened to your veto?
You tried to veto the first episode of this season, I believe.
Yeah.
If memory serves.
And beat me.
I could not let that stand.
And you counter-vetoed me, didn't you, Ben?
I counter-vetoed because I didn't... All of the anger of that is really coming back up to the surface. Because this is like the most Lwaxana episode of all Lwaxana episodes that I can think of.
Anytime you can combine Lwaxana and the Ferengi in the same episode.
Oh my God.
It's just, yeah, just two great tastes that taste great together, huh?
It's like you're puking and shitting at the same time.
I've done that before, Ben. It's not great.
Yeah.
Had you had your veto at this point, now 23 episodes in, you definitely would have spent it, right?
I wish I could spend a future veto on this. That's how much I hate this episode.
Wow. Yeah, it's too bad that's not how the rule works. The rules that we make up. The rules that we make up and can change on a whim. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Too bad.
Well, gotta see it. You know what feels better than watching a Lwaxana Troi episode, Ben?
Donating to support your favorite Star Trek podcast, The Greatest Generation, by going to MaximumFun.org/donate. Yeah.
That's right. Viewers from around the land are going to MaximumFun.org/donate and helping to support the production of our show. Other ways that you can show your support is by giving us a review on the podcast application that you use to get this show. There are also t-shirts that you can buy.
Yeah.
And even just saying nice things to us on Twitter sure is great. You can use the hashtag GreatestGen to talk to us and other people who enjoy the show. I'm on there as @CutForTime. Ben is there as @BenjaminR, A-H-R.
Yeah, there's also the Facebook group and the Facebook page. There's the subreddit Greatest Gen, and there's also a Maximum Fun subreddit. Both are great places to rap about the show and meet cool, like-minded internet people as well.
Yeah, I don't think I'm alone in saying our music kicks ass.
Oh, yeah.
Our theme music and interstitial music is made by the one and only Dark Materia. If you are interested in bumping that Picard song in your car on the way to work every day, you can find it just about everywhere on the internet by searching for the Picard song by Dark Materia. We've also got Priority One message music arranged and produced by Adam Ragusea.
One of the greats.
Yeah.
This podcast has cool friends.
Friends that make us great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome.
Well, that is about all the business we have here at the end of the show. And with that, we will be back at you next time. Another episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
You are so sad.
And another Lwaxana episode of The Greatest Generation.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be great. We'll get you through this one, buddy.
The Jordan episode?
As in MJ. As in Michael Jordan.
Uh-huh.
Episode 23.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. I was thinking you were saying something about Sarek, and I was like, what is his association with Michael Jordan?
No association at all, other than he's the best.
Wasn't Michael Jordan 46?
Oh, no, Ben. You're going to want to edit that out.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.